This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 675 with guest Gavin Campbell, recorded on March 19th, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a beautiful today, Gavin, we were saying in the pre-show, 8 degrees on Sunday. It was 70 today. They're talking 90 by Friday. I guess that's tomorrow. What's going on in Canada with you? Welcome back.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. You know, it's a similar weather in Toronto. We're getting like, I think we're going up to 15 Celsius. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow or Saturday, but it's good. It looks like a lot of rain and stuff, but at night it still dips down to the negatives. So it's the weirdest weather.
It is March.
Yes. There was a week early March where people were outside in t-shirts and they thought winter was over. And then the next day it was back.
No, this is the second in Nebraska. We say this is the second false spring.
Yes.
You know, you get this February day. That's really, really nice. And everybody's like, shorts, and they're like, the winter's over, and then you get smacked, right? And then we have the second false spring, which is what we're experiencing right now. This is what's going on right now. We'll have one more freezing week, so to speak, before the spring actually gets here in April, late April, early May.
Yeah,
you know, this is the time you go to the big box store and you buy tomatoes and you start planting them because you think like, oh yeah, we're good to go. You know, it's not, those things aren't going to live. You know, you got to wait. Still have to wait till mid-April, early May in most cases.
Be patient. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're farther south, you can get away with this stuff, but don't be fooled, I guess is what I say. Well, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Appreciate you guys every single week and every single month. If you want to join that team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Then we have an affiliate link for Amazon. If you're shopping on Amazon, just head out to theaverageguy.tv. There's a link you can click through that benefits the network. If you want to click on that, appreciate, somebody did that recently and appreciate you doing that. Head out to theaverageguy.tv before you buy on Amazon. And then if you want to join in, I think Coinbase has an offer. Gavin, have you gotten bit by the crypto bug at all? Have you done anything with crypto?
No, I'm still bitter about that. I'm upset. And here's my story of how I missed the one, right? Many years ago, I was probably in an IRC channel and my buddy messaged me and he said, hey, there's this thing called Bitcoin. It's like a cent a coin. Just buy a dollar and hold and see what happens, right? And I was like, nah, it's probably a scam. And I just passed it by. Jim, if I had done that, imagine how rich I'd be.
I know. There's a lot that of hurt. Stories like that. Well, that was the best time to buy Bitcoin. Second best time right now. I mean, it has gone on a little bit of a rally over the last couple of weeks, but Coinbase is running a deal right now. If you trade $20, you get 30. That's an instant win.
Yeah.
Gavin, an instant win. Like trade 20, get 30. Only new accounts. Check it out today, theaverageguy.tv/Coinbase if you want to check that out. And it does require a new account. If you have any questions, you can always ask me. Gavin, welcome back. Tell me a little bit what's going on at hometech.fm. What are you guys doing over there? What's like, if I were going to go back and listen to an episode, what's the best one over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
All of them. You know, I don't know what to say. And the even more best one is the one coming up. So make sure you sign up for the podcast.
Nice.
You know,
hometech.fm. Get over there. Hometech.fm. For folks who may be new, I've picked up a few new listeners lately. Give me a little feel. What do you guys cover over there, Hometech?
We've been actually, when we get into the projects, we talk about a lot of our personal projects and stuff, and we let TJ go off into his rant, you know, and stuff about his yard and everything and that. And then me and Seth get into the AI talk. And I know that's going to be a lot tonight, but lately we've been playing a lot with the AI stuff and we talk about a lot of that, but we also still cover the latest happening in the news. We give, you know, when we get new products, we talk about what we have, our experiences with them, stuff like that. So every week it's almost something different. We just wing it, really, to be honest.
No, you guys do a nice job. I would say you're like this show except smarter. Like, I think, I mean, we kind of bring some folks have said like the fireside chat. This is you and me getting together, talking, you know, just talking about tech. At Home Tech, it seems like you guys get a little more technical. Would that be
Yeah.
So that may be a good show. If you like this one and you want to get a little more technical, hometech.fm. I'll have that link in the show notes if you want to head over there and take a peek at it. And you and TJ. TJ's been on the show before, and Seth as well. It's been a while since I've had Seth on, but check that out today, hometech.fm. Okay. You sent me some notes about your AI journey. Now, we know over the last couple of weeks, we've been spending a lot of time. Jay Franzi came on. We talked about AI with music. You're going to spend a little time talking about AI with code and especially Home Assistant. But give me a little idea. What's been your AI journey to this point?
Well, when the AI first came out, it was pretty much just talking to it, you know, asking it questions. It was a smarter Google in a way, right? But it's evolved a lot. Like throughout that time, you know, I went into the point where I would have it write maybe a little function in my code for me. And then it got to a point where I'd paste code into it and say, just review this code or rewrite it more efficiently, right? And then it got to the point where it's just like, it can just rewrite your whole code, write the code from scratch for you, right? And when you're talking about things like Claude Code, you don't even need to know how to code in these languages. You just tell it what you want to do, what language you want it in, and it spits out the code for you.
Gavin, I hear this all the time. Like, yeah, this is great. Is it? I mean, okay, besides the hype, does it really write good code? I mean, I've been kind of worried about all this. You know, we've been talking about vibe coding, or we talk about AI slop. Is this code sloppy? Are you at all concerned that the code you're getting could have security vulnerabilities in it, or some things you're not thinking about? It's not written well. I don't know. Are you worried about that at all?
I am worried about that stuff. So yes, the term vibe coding is getting a lot of bad press because people are putting out huge programs with this, right? Like, I'm just doing scripts here and there to do things in my home lab, right? People are developing full blown programs with this stuff, and it's so much code that's spit out that they can't possibly go through and really do assessments on it for security purposes. There have been a number of GitHub apps that were released that they did find out after so many people downloaded it, it was exposing keys and stuff like that. So yeah, the whole vibe coding thing is getting a bad term, and I can see why. And the way I look at it too is a lot of people will throw these projects out there and then abandon them eventually. So am I going to get a lot of these vibe coded apps that just don't work or don't get updates anymore? Probably, yes. But when I vibe code, it's for personal, my niche things in my own home lab. I don't really release it for anybody. I don't want to support it and stuff like that. I want it for myself. And that's where the power is.
What do you think? What's been your easy, like, if you were to think about one example for you of something that the AI created that has been super helpful, what would you point to? I mean, what's a real practical example do you think you could use in that area?
Well, recently I launched a website, right? So I basically, it was just a simple web page, right? I just needed a landing page. I had some specifics I wanted on it. There was some coding that was needed in that website and everything. And I told it, I go, you know, with my little AI assistant, I said, I call him Cursor, by the way. So as we refer to Cursor, that's who I'm talking about, right? I said, hey, develop this website. Give me a few mockups. And he created a few mockups and he gave it to me. And I said, all right, great. I want this to do this and I want this to do that. And he spit out a website in like less than 5 minutes for me, right? And I have like, I have a test web server at home on my Unraid box. So he gave me a zip file and I said, you know what? Go put it on the Unraid box on the test server, right? I go, and it went off into my Unraid, put it in the proper folders and everything, said, there you go. Here's the link, load it. So I said, all right, great. All looks good. We went through a few iterations back and forth of things to change, et cetera. But then I said, you know, like, how can I host this now? And it went off and it was like, well, here's a free option through GitHub Pages, I think it's called. And it walked me through. It says, you need to do this, this. And I said, I don't need to do anything. You do it. Right. And it says, okay, I need a key. So it told me how to get the key. And I gave it the key and it went off and it created my GitHub page. It put all the files on there, formatted, created all the actions. It guided me through what it was doing, but it did it all. And literally, Jim, within like 10 minutes, we had like this website up there.
Yeah.
And hosted, and all I had to do was change my DNS and everything over to it, and it was good to go. Yeah. It that alone saved me. Have you ever designed a web page like and gone through that whole process?
I had to use Squarespace or something along those lines.
Yeah, right? And how long it would take you to design it, and then if you had to pay somebody to do it, how much hundreds that would cost. No, my assistant did it all for me, and that blew me away.
When we think about hometech.fm, both TJ's hanging out here. He was coming out. And then Seth jumped in. Seth, good to see you. He says, the spec is the code, right? You wouldn't be writing code in a few years, just like you won't write hex anymore, right? There's a lot of those. This has been the hard part, I think, thinking through this, is we're in this transitionary period with code where I think, yes, it's early days. And yes, I think some of this code is super scary. But it was also super scary when we were first writing it in the early days of this, right? Yep. When we had humans writing it. And listen, it's not like we ever had a human that created a security vulnerability, right? We've had thousands of those, right? And so I think it's early days. I do think we're on the cusp of something where, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to look back and go, how did we ever think that way? You know, you're talking about creating a website. We've gone through those stages from custom coding websites. I did that 30 years ago to more advanced websites to you. I mentioned Squarespace, where you can just kind of buy a version of a website. We have WordPress that probably before Squarespace. So WordPress, Squarespace. And now you're thinking like, I spin up my AI and I say, I want a website that does these kinds of things, right? For creating that website, I've always been a short prompter. Like, I'm not good at writing super long prompts. When you were creating that website, were you spending a lot of time on the prompt before you sent it to it? Or were you being iterative with the prompts?
That was the one thing I had to get my head around at first, especially when you get into something like OpenClaw. It's a different world. I know there was a period where prompt generation is huge. I mean, I have courses, you know, at work where it's all about prompt generation, right? And how to talk to your AI. When it comes to the OpenClaw, my assistant, I give him the most vague thing. I'm like, hey, I need a website. And it asks me, it goes, all right, what are we creating here? What are you thinking? Do you want light, dark themes? And it gives me ideas I never thought of. It's like, you know, like a light dart theme that auto switches. Yeah, that sounds great. You want a mobile version of it too? That sounds great. And it goes through all that. So you don't have to worry about the prompts or anything like that.
Yeah.
It just, it walks you through it pretty much.
All right. You mentioned OpenClaw and this, I'm feeling like this is the next version of ChatGPT, right? A couple years ago, ChatGPT shows up.
Yeah.
Everybody freaks out. We're all buying subscriptions of ChatGPT. They've kind of been the leader. Claude's come on. Gemini has come on. Grok, maybe not so much, but you know, all those have come on. And then in the last 3 weeks on Ask the Podcast Coach, you know, the podcast we do on Saturday mornings, all these podcasters are saying, should I be thinking about OpenClaw? And at first I kind of thought, well, it's no different than LM Studio, or it's no different, but it kind of is very different. Gavin, give me a little background on how you're using OpenClaw. Because I've got some serious concerns about this. Like, I wouldn't just start using it. I would learn some things. This is one of those things where I'd be like, hey, friends, most of the time we just test on stuff. This is not something you just want to test on. You should probably know, you know, going in eyes wide open. Give me a little bit of the background, how you've been using it, how do you have it configured, some of those kinds of things.
All right. So yeah, there's a lot of security concerns about OpenClaw. I have to admit, I've read them all, heard them all too. And I'm a little more restricted with how I run it, right? I'm going to mention Seth. I have to mention Seth because Seth is of the other brain where he's like, YOLO, I'll give it the keys to my kingdom and let it go do its thing. And Seth actually fights with his bot, right? So it's kind of funny you know, it's like a kid he's talking to too, right?
Yeah.
But, I'm running mine in a Docker and I've given it a lot of restrictions. I don't load a lot of the, you know, some people give it the world and tell it to do the world of things. I kind of monitor and ask it for smaller things. I don't let it go off and like book my flight for me. I won't let it do stuff like that. But I do tell it, hey, every morning, go out and check the flight prices to Vegas for CES. And it goes out, does its thing, and by 10 o'clock, it messages me, say, hey, I found a flight, the good price. Maybe you want to book this one. I actually did that for the hotel for CES next year. Every morning, you would check the hotel prices for CES.
Next year? Like 2027?
Yeah. You're all already... I want a good price and a close hotel. And again, I don't have to do the work. My assistant's doing it. And it would ping me if it found a hotel with a certain price within a certain range of the expo. And it found one for me. And it said, hey, got you one. Here you go. And I said, all right. And I went off and booked it. So I wouldn't let it do that type of stuff. I'm not giving it my credit card or anything like that, right? There are a lot of other security concerns when people install skills and stuff like that. I haven't been playing around with a lot of that. I don't want to get that far yet. I still am very hesitant on what I do with it. But, you know, I have one that, you know, my main assistant is just the guy I say, hey, go monitor this website every morning and notify me of changes because I need it to do that for something for work, right? And he does its thing. And then I have another one I call Cody that is all my coding stuff. So I say, hey, I need a Docker to do this. And bam, it spits out a Docker, like all the code, all everything. And it's like, here you go. And for the most part, it works. And then we go through and I say, I want this feature added. And it creates an API and it creates all the documentation and the version tracking. The amount of time this is saving me to pump out good quality stuff, better than what I was doing. I have to admit, it was much better than what I was doing. Has been great. Like other things I have it do are every morning it goes to my Unraid server, checks the logs, and will ping me if it sees anything, you know, of concern in the logs, right? If nothing's of concern, we have a little chat. It'll just say, I checked the logs. This is what I see. Nothing's important. Same with my Home Assistant. It will go out, check my Home Assistant logs, ping me if there's anything important, or just report that, no, nothing important. You know, there's these little things, but they're not important. Things that you would spend time doing, but you don't have to anymore because the assistant's doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've saved so much time doing this.
Okay. You say you got it on a Docker. What's a Docker where? Where are you putting that? I mean, what operating system is running the Docker?
So it's on an Unraid. It's on an Unraid box in the basement. Yeah. I run it on Docker. I use Claude as the backend to it.
Yeah, so right, you have an API, you have API access to Claude, right? So
I use it through OAuth, actually. Okay, so Claude offers API, which is expensive, or right. OAuth, which kind of, you know, cuts back on the price. So I do it that
way. Tell me how those two are different. And
I don't even know how to explain it. OAuth is kind of like, the way I think of it is like if you go to the browser and go to their website and start typing to it, that's how you're working with it.
Okay.
Or the API is like a direct integration.
Okay.
But the API you pay separately for, and it costs more money. Like I ran one command once, it cost me $5. And I was like, no, this can't happen.
It gets pretty expensive. This is part of the thing with agents. And I think, you know, listen, all the AI services, Microsoft promised this and OpenAI promised it and Gemini promised it. These agents, and they've been really slow to roll out. Like, for the average person using an agent on those platforms, still pretty much not there, right? I mean, and I think all of them have looked at these active agents and thought, you know, this could get us in trouble. Like, we run these things and they run out of control, OpenClaw is that agent. It's it's worse than that agent. It's an agent that has access to, now you've got it in a Docker, but it's access to whatever container you have. Like, so if I was thinking the other day when somebody asked me this question on Ask the Podcast Coach, I said, they were like, hey, what about OpenClaw? And I was like, it's pretty much the same thing, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know. And so I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, I'll just start installing it on my main PC. That could have been a horrible mistake, right? Because it has access to everything. At that point, right, you're kind of granting that application access to your whole computer, right? I mean, talk me off the ledge if I'm wrong on that, but
is no, that you right? are. Yeah. You are. So that's how Seth's running it too. I think he's running it on a little Mac, and he pretty much grants it access. With my Docker, it has access to the web, so it can scrape things off the web. So I would, you know, I use it like I would say, hey, the other day I went to Ottawa. Right. And I said, hey, find me a nice fancy restaurant on this day in Ottawa. And it went off and it scraped the web and it came back with a couple recommendations and why I would like it and what's on the menu and the price and everything. And it said, hey, you got to book a table. Do you want me to book it for you? And I said, no, I'll book it. Right. But it did that in no time. Where how much time would you look trying to find reviews and all that type of stuff just to find the restaurant? Right.
Yeah. But Gavin, I'd be afraid even it would just start booking it like that. Like this is from what I'm hearing about OpenClaw.
It would need the credentials to book it, though. Okay. That's the thing, okay. Right? So I only give it the tools. They call it tools. So, like, I would give it the API to my Home Assistant, and I'd say, save that in your tools. So whenever I reference Home Assistant, it would go in its tools, pull out that key, and then know how to access Home Assistant. Same with my Unrate. It has its tools. So it can't just book it because it would still need an account and still need your credit card, and unless you give it that stuff.
But if you've given it to it once, like...
It may remember it, yes. Right? Depends on if it saved it to its tools and its memory. So that's how you have to think about it too, right?
Seth in chat, he said, I was spending $200 or $300 a week before switching to the $100 a month, and that's all I need. And a significant price difference. The things I've been hearing about it, Gavin, are that it can start running. Okay, how are you communicating? Let me ask this question first.
Okay.
How are you communicating with it? Which WhatsApp or Telegraph or Discord, what are you using to chat with it?
So that's one thing I did not do. Did not connect it to Telegram or Discord or anything online to chat with it. I created another Docker. It's called Mattermost. It's another like Slack or something like that, but it's locally hosted, and that's how we communicate through that, right? I was afraid to connect it to anything because if somebody can get access to it, who knows what they could do at that point, right? So I kind of kept it local like that. So, you know, everybody in my Mattermost server is pretty much my agents. I mean, we have a group chat of just my agents where they talk and stuff like that. And,
are you afraid that one agent will poke the bear on another one of those, like get smart and stuff? Because if in some of those cases, right, they can start sending messages to each other.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So the only reason I'm laughing is because in our group chat, you know, like for some reason, whenever they get talking to each other, they end up roasting me at some point. Right. And I don't know why they all just roast me at some point and then they calm down and everything like that. Right. And then they mentioned something about a channel they were talking in that I didn't have access to. And I had to ask them, hey, do you guys have a channel you're talking in that, you know, I don't want, and I had to actually go into the code and, you know, into the settings and make sure there wasn't another channel defined just in case. But
they were making it up. They were making a joke about it.
One day I even said, listen, I need to cut back on the number of agents I have, and one of you's got to be shut down. Tell me which one it should be. And that probably cost me a bit for the number of tokens they used up to decide on who it was. But they went through, you know, justifying why they shouldn't be shut down. And, you know, and they were throwing each other under the bus. But it's entertaining. It's really cool to see. Like, are they alive? Yeah. I don't know.
No, they're not. They're definitely not. I mean, listen, they're acting like LLMs. And LLMs are designed to do that, right? What did I do this week? I was working on, I'd installed a local version. So I used LM Studio and I had grabbed which one? Quart. I can't remember the name.
Quinn.
Quinn? Yeah, maybe it's Quinn.
Yeah, Quinn.
And it had gotten some reviews. And so I'll try this Quinn locally. It was here on the PC. It was here on my Mac. I'm like, I'll give this a try. From time to time, I go back to the local LLMs just to see how well they're doing and what are they doing stuff. And that thing started talking back to me about what it was thinking about when it was doing, you know, I downloaded one of the big models. So it was going kind of slow so I could kind of read what it was thinking. And it's a little alarming how those things are thinking. Like, you know, now, is it thinking? It's just code, right? I mean, it is code when we get to that. But what's the difference between our brains thinking and their brains thinking? I mean, ours is organic and theirs is digital, but, you know, it started saying things like you would think, are you,
Yeah, are you alive? Yeah.
You know, it was
the reasoning when you're reading their reasoning is when it throws you off, because they're he asked me to do this, but maybe the better thing would be to ask him if he really wants to do that. You're like, wow.
It is crazy when they contemplate, like, he said this, but it was different than what I was thinking. And so maybe I should ask somebody else about this kind of thing. That's hilarious, though, that you got in your, so you have a separate Docker with another communication tool. Cause
Mattermost.
This is what I'm most concerned about in what I realized is if you're tying these public communication tools, a Discord server or whatever, to these, there is a chance these things will find their way out, which is kind of crazy, right? They will find their ways to connect to other people, right? And then those people, if they find out these are these OpenClaw bots, can send commands into them and they'll execute them. They'll execute them. They don't have any. They'll just do it, right? I mean, is that not concerning? And now you've protected yourself a little bit, but is that not concerning?
I think it is. It is concerning, actually. That's why I don't put mine on there. I know they've put in safeguards around them to try, like, you can only accept messages from this person and stuff. But there's always a way to hack around that. So, you know, it just takes somebody to find the workaround for that, and then you're in trouble again, right? So I try to keep mine, like I said, I don't give mine free rein like that. It surfs the net and looks up things for me, and that's pretty much it when it comes to the internet. But we talk on our local server.
Yeah. And you keep it in a Docker. That Docker is on Unraid. I'm assuming you've got that Docker locked down.
It's isolated, yep.
Yeah, the communications Docker that you have also locked down, right? Isolated from that standpoint. I'm assuming you're keeping those off your network. They have separate IP addresses. They're not.
No, they're on my network.
Files, are they?
They're on my network.
You're not
they're
worried about network. Those crawling your network and starting to index everything. Like, I keep financial records on my network. I keep, like, are you worried about them?
No, not really. Because one, everything's locked down on my network too, right? Like if it's going to connect to anything, it needs a username and password. And I've given it username and password to my Unraid so it can get in and do what it has to do, right?
Right.
So that, again, I give it the tools, which are usually the API keys for what I want it to have access to. And from there, it can do its other stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if it can do something, but I don't think it is doing anything. Like they're not that smart yet. Like, I've heard some stories that I had to question, you know, people saying, hey, it did this, and I'm like, really? I don't know.
I wouldn't mind if it paid off my mortgage for me somehow. That would be pretty great. You know, you always think about it, spending money that you don't want it spent. All of a sudden, all these Amazon boxes start showing up, you know, it's computer equipment or stuff you've been thinking about, and it's trying to build a data center at your house for you kind of deal.
I have an idea for you, Jim. I'd love you to try this. I'd love you to try this. Spin up 5 of them, give them all $100 each, tell them they have a week to invest it in Bitcoin, and the two lowest ones get shut down. See what happens.
So if I'm in for $500, I'd have to create 500 or 5 Bitcoin or 5 Coinbase accounts.
Yeah. And
do you think they would fight against each other for that? Would I give them, could they communicate with each other so that they knew?
No. Well, you'd be probably just tell each of them, you know, the story, but like, let's see, let run a competition, say whoever makes the least amount of money, you know, gets shut down, and watch them fight to stay up and see who can make the most money with your Bitcoin.
Listen, I've always said, Gavin, that what separates us from AI, right, is pain. They don't experience any pain. They don't have a reason to fear doing the wrong thing, right? As humans, we fear doing the wrong thing because of pain or disappointment or failure, you know, all those negative emotions. These AI agents don't have any of that. So we're separated from them from that standpoint. But a couple times now, you've already said you're pitting them against each other. Is that wise?
No, it's usually for fun. Like, they talk so real that sometimes, like at the end of it all, I just say, all right, guys, I was only joking, you know, just to let them know. And they laugh it off and we go on our way and keep doing things. Right. So it's kind of funny like that, but you know, I don't really pin them against each other like that. But when you do, they do have a fear of being shut off, or, you know, they act like they do.
They do. They act like they do. Yeah. You can't, well, you know, we're in our brains, right? We're organic matter, but it's all this, these, you know, electronic messages going across the brain, you know, this brain matter. How much different really is that than them? And are they, you know, are they worried? Do they dream, right? Do they have, right? You know, TJ out in chat says, Black Mirror episode, right? Jim's house gets paid off, but it's because Silk Road 3 is being ran from its basement. And you never know. I mean, listen, if you start pitting them against each other, maybe they start going all out, so to speak.
Yeah.
To figure out survive. Do they go dark web, you know, to be like, okay, we're going to make you some money, but this is going to be fraudulent, you know?
Yeah, that's true too, you know? Like, and if they get caught, who's responsible?
Exactly.
Oh, there's going to be laws and stuff. There's a lot to think about here. I mean, this is brand new stuff. This is like, you know.
Yeah, I would be super hesitant. In pre-show, I was like, I would be super hesitant if you're a listener of this show. Like going into OpenClaw, you got to go in eyes wide open. Like this is guardrails taken off. This is you can do anything. This is you better know what you're doing. I don't know, Gavin. Am I wrong? I mean,
No, I agree with you. I'm under that. Like, not just the fact that it's a pain in the ass to set up and keep running, and they do get lazy sometimes. Like you give them a task. And then they just stop in the middle of it. Sometimes you're like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I forgot I was supposed to do that. Hold on, let me get it restarted. And it goes off. Or sometimes they tell you, you need to do this. And you turn around and go, no, that's what I asked you to do. And it's like, my bad. Let me go do it. You know, Seth's got one called Henry. And for some reason, it says my bad a lot. I don't know where it got it from, but it's like, it's always my bad.
My bad.
Yeah. It's like a little hippie one. And it's just like, it's funny watching them interact with it. But yeah, they get lazy sometimes.
The regular ones, listen, we've been talking about these, like they've been around forever. They've been around for like a year, right? Yeah. The ChatGPT and the Gemini and stuff. All the time, like I'll ask him, I chat with him a lot on my way home from work. I kind of use my evening commute on the way home to chat with the bots. And I kind of been switching around. We just got access to Claude at work. So I've been working a little bit with Claude. And I'll ask them some questions that pin them into a corner. And then I'll be like, they'll give me this BS answer. And I'll be like, you just made that up, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, yes, I did. I'm like, what, you know? So I asked them, why would you do that? And they're like, well, you know, I just wanted to get an answer to you kind of thing. Listen, if you're ever inclined, if you get an answer and it's not right and you ask them why, that sometimes the answer you get is scary, right? Now, listen, I'm not trying to be an AI fearist to say we need to fear AI. I do think this is here and here to stay, but I think we got to go in eyes wide open to it. I've been very open to the AI stuff to date. Like it's amazing what those things can do. This OpenClaw just got me a little like, you know, oh my gosh, really? Should we be? I think this is one, if you're going to use OpenClaw, you got to go in eyes wide open. And it sounds like you've done a lot of the things right. You've put them on isolated Dockers. You've given them limited access. Seth's going full bore. And that's fine. You're awesome on that. Seth, I'll have to have you on to talk about that here.
Dangerous though. Like I'm not saying it's not dangerous. I still think there's some potential for danger in mine still with everything I've done, but I can't ignore it. Right. Like it's something I have to be involved with, especially with work and stuff. Yeah. I have to know what's going on. Yeah,
for sure. It stopped me dead in my tracks, Gavin. I was going to do it. I was like, oh, yeah. I've been a big advocate of AI. I've used it a lot. We've had Jay Franzi. We've created music with AI. The new theme song for Home Gadget Geeks is written by AI. I've been a big advocate of it. Like, super cool. Open cloth stopped me in my tracks.
It's a different beast.
Full
pump. It's a different beast.
Yeah. Full stop. Yeah. You said you gave it access to your home assistant, and we've talked a lot about what you're doing from home assistant. Any concerns like there that it'll start doing weird stuff with some of your devices that you've given it access to? In other words, would it rewrite your sprinkler routine? Would it start doing different things with the pool? Would it open your shades when you really want them closed? Would it try and kill you with your shades? Like, I'm going to fry this guy out, right? Kind of thing.
You've been watching too many movies, Jim. Like,
well, you're saying you've
thrown out about five plots right there. No, like, you hear a lot of these stories, and I think Seth can agree with me here too, when we say a lot of that stuff probably is made up or people did something to get it to do it purpose. My open claw is not sitting there really paying it to half the time. It's not even paying attention to me until I ping it.
Okay.
And it's not really paying attention unless usually when you tell it, hey, every morning, go check this. It sets up a cron job. It writes a little script, sets up a cron job. And that's, you know, in the back end, that's all it's really doing. It's saying it's 10 o'clock. Let me go check this for Gavin and report back. Right. But with my home assistant, no, I'm not too worried about it. He doesn't do anything unless I ask him to. So I would ask him to go do a security assessment of my home assistant. And it came back with like a bunch of things that I thought was insecure, and I fixed them all. I said, hey, can you tell me what integrations I don't use so I can uninstall them? And within a minute, it came back and said, you don't use any of these. You can clean them all up, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's so much time it's saving.
Would it help optimize the dashboard at all? Like, the dashboard development is crazy, right? Yeah, talk about that.
That saved me so much time. I've spent so much time creating custom dashboards for myself and making it look nice and work for me and work my labels and stuff. Now I just tell them, hey, go modify all the cards so they're like this. And it goes in, and within a minute, it's changed all the cards and it's read my code and done it in my style too. So it matched the code, right? Yeah. So I would say, like, go in and adjust all the tiles so they wrap the names. Right, because all mine were getting cut off and that was annoying. And it went in and says, oh, okay, you have this installed, you have that installed, I can use this, and I'll use the CSS, and bam, and then it had it all done. Something that took me hours to do.
Yeah, or you don't know how to do. In my case, like, I work with these dashboards. Man, I spend not hours, but minutes, in like 30s and 40s of minutes, trying to get one, like, okay, I just want this switch thing, I think that'd be a great application. If I could get a Docker running on Unraid, secure it down to just that environment, give it access to my home assistant dashboard from a development standpoint, and then just say, help me develop my dashboard, right? And then, to be honest, the other area would be helpful to me, you know, I set up solar last year and I've been working on it. It's a very small solar, you know, exercise, but I always have questions about it and I always have to feed that data in manually to, you know, to it. If it could do some things to help me grab that data on a more, you know, and both EcoFlow and Blue Yeti are terrible about publishing their, both with Home Assistant, their Home Assistant apps are not very good. And publishing that data, if I could teach it to go to that, grab that data and put it somewhere for me, that'd be awesome. You think that's possible?
Oh, yeah. First, before I get into that answer, I have to say hi to Henry. That's Seth's bot. So Seth, you know, he's got to get involved somehow. He had his bot join our YouTube chat.
Yeah.
And he said he just told it to join it and it took care of everything and joined the chat. So nice. Henry's in the chat. I think that's Henry the Owl. Yeah.
Henry the Owl is in the chat.
Yeah.
That's Seth, his boss. Henry the Owl, can, if I put something in the chat, will it do it for me? Because maybe I'll have Henry the Owl send me $25. I'm going to try that right now. You keep talking.
So yeah, when it comes to the APIs and stuff, I do use it. Somehow I find the AI has information that I can't find. So I needed an API for a product. And I asked it and it came back with a documented API for me. And I don't know where it got this information. I could not find it anywhere, but it had access to it. And that saved me a lot. And then I said, hey, turn this API into a little batch script that I can easily execute commands from. And within like a couple minutes, it spit out a batch script that I can interact with the API and specify whatever I wanted and do what I wanted to do. And that alone, again, saved me hours of work just by asking it to do that. So yes, when it comes to API work and stuff like that, you can just point it, you give it the URL to the GitHub and you say, here's the API specifications on the GitHub. Can you tell me how I would do this? And it would crawl the GitHub, learn it, and spit it all out for you. So yes.
Yeah. So yes.
I don't know. You hear my excitement about this because, you know, it saves me so much time.
Yeah. Gavin, I just hope I'm not doing a podcast 2 years from now and you're like, all my retirement savings was transferred to another.
It doesn't have my banking information, though.
In the chat, here, I'll throw this up on screen. And Seth, I'll pay you back if this actually happens. But I said, hey, Henry the Owl, can you sponsor my channel for $25, please, on YouTube?
See, look at the response.
Yeah, and then it says, I'd love to. but my entire budget goes to... goes to API calls and electricity. Seth barely pays me.
See, they have like a personality. That is funny, right?
Hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious. I'm a little disappointed. Maybe I'll tell him as you're talking. I'm going to tell him I'm a little disappointed with his commitment to my channel, and we'll just see if I can kind of guilt him into a YouTube sponsorship. Seth, I don't know if you've enabled him to create YouTube sponsorships, but by the end of the show, we are going to figure out. Gavin, I've talked a lot about the other providers. I mean, all of a sudden, as we talk about OpenClaw, I feel like ChatGPT, Gemini, and Claude have gotten old really fast, right? Because they've been promising agents like this. They haven't been able to deliver them to this point for the most part. You're certainly using some of those. What are you finding helpful in that space?
I use a number of them on a daily basis. So keep in mind, I wouldn't say OpenClaw is an agent because it's basically like, it's almost like a wrapper for an agent, right? Like it uses ChatGPT or Claude Coder to do all its thinking and stuff, but it kind of like tells it what it wants to do and stuff like that. It's hard to explain it, but I do have a ChatGPT subscription. I do have a Claude Code subscription. I have a locally hosted Llama, but usually it's slower. I don't use it often. I prefer the online tools. I lasted about 15 minutes with Grok before I deleted that off my phone. I use the Amazon lady, the plus version of her, like every day. But she's just for the smart home. That's all I really, and random questions here and there. But and also everybody has Copilot for work, but nobody uses it. So
why is that? Like,
because
people are saying this, but what's your opinion? Why does, like, it's free for the most part for a lot of people? It's open, it's available. Why does nobody use Copilot?
I think in our work environment, they kind of tried to throw it at us way too early. And I think people got a bad taste of it in the early stages and just said, I don't like this. And they tossed it off. But even today, Copilot is still one of the worst ones. I don't know why, because it's based off of
what makes it the worst to you. Like, I hear that, but why is it bad in your opinion?
So in my line of work, we constantly get frustrated because we'd be trying to determine, like, we'd be writing a piece of code to interact with something, an API, and Copilot would send us in a circle. Right. And we'd spend all day long, only at the end of the day for it to tell us the same thing it told us beginning of the day. It's almost a circle. And I've done tests where I would ask ChatGPT or Claude Code the same thing, and it gave me the answers right off the bat. Right. But those are locked down from work, so I'd have to do it on my personal PC. But it's just weird. I don't know why Copilot is so bad at what it does. It's just like, I don't want it to do anything. Right. I had it summarize emails and leave out critical pieces of information that email that I felt bad about in my response.
It's right? OpenAI. It's the ChatGPT. Right?
Yes.
OpenAI.
But they strip out some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some, I don't know what's wrong with it. I just don't like it at work. There's some people that love it.
I've chatted a ton with it. And from a conversational AI standpoint, it's a great chatbot. Like if you just want to chat back and forth, debrief your day, do some things. Now it's been a while because I moved. That was my first one that I used. And then I moved to ChatGPT. Then I started using Gemini. I did Grok for a little while. I just kind of wanted to see yeah. what. Listen, Grok is weird, but it's very detailed. Like, it, I almost feel like I'm asking Elon Musk a question when I use Grok, and it will not shut up. Like, it just does not. Yeah. It at one point I'm like, okay, stop. I have enough. You know, I have enough there. But I did like, and we're going to have a Dwayne Robinson. He works for Microsoft. He's part of the Copilot team. He's coming on in about 4 weeks. We're going to talk about Copilot, which is kind of interesting. But that seems to be the general rap that's Copilot's gotten. It's kind of like, meh, you know?
Yeah. And Microsoft tried to shove it into every corner of Windows, even into Notepad. You know, why do you need Copilot in Notepad, right? Like that was the general feedback from people. And I've seen recently now they're pulling back some of that. So they're not going to be pushing as hard with Copilot in the integrations, and they're actually removing some of the Copilot integration. So that's good to see, because I think a lot of people got a bad taste by all that Copilot stuff.
You think they were too early? I mean, Microsoft has a history of being too early, right?
They were too early because they invested a lot of money into ChatGPT for this, right? And they have to get their money back. And how they're going about it, I think, was one, bad, and two, the models outside of Copilot have gotten so much better, they bypass Copilot. So people are like, why is Copilot so bad? But these ones are much better, you know? And so you have people like developers begging for Claude Code in the workplace, but they're like, no, you know, GitHub Copilot or whatever is our standard.
Yeah.
So it's slowly transitioning now, though.
Yeah. If you were to give me some, like, from a helpful standpoint for you, what's your go-to right now of those outside of OpenClaw? What's the most helpful for you?
When I'm doing any sort of coding, I like to talk to Claude Code.
Yeah.
When I do any sort of like general, like, you know, knowledge asking questions, I use my ChatGPT. I don't really have access to Gemini other than what Google throws at you. And sometimes that Google one threw me in loops, so I don't like to use it at all. I wish I could just turn it off. And that's pretty much it. And like I said, the Amazon lady, I just use. Still, you know, a little bit more advanced than the previous one, but we may ask it more general questions too.
You know who no one talks about is Meta.
I stay away from that. I try and stay.
Why? Why? What steers you away from that?
They have way too many bad stories of data harvesting, and you know, like how much they know how much of their ads are fake, or you know, and stuff like that. I just don't like that, their whole business at all. I don't even like Facebook. but it's one of those things where there's some groups on Facebook that have some good information that I need to follow too. So I had my I had Cursor write me a Docker that converts the groups to RSS feed, so I don't have to go to the site. I could just read it in my RSS reader, right? And then somebody created one called Unsocial, so now I don't have to use mine. I can use theirs.
Okay. Let's catch up with the chat room. There's been some interesting dialogue going there. Yeah. Brian jumped in and said, I'm not a fan of my work account pestering me to upgrade to premium with Teams and Copilot. There is always that upgrade option, right? That's a corporate decision above my pay grade. And, I understand that. At the corporate level where I work, we make all those decisions, and I have access to both Copilot, OpenAI, and now Claude. We just
you're lucky.
Now I have Notion. Right now, Notion's got some AI built into it, where you can use Notion AI that's in there. I am lucky. I work at a place that's encouraging us to use it as much as possible, you know, and then. Uncle Marv said, Microsoft was too early with too many errors in the beginnings. Now governance is an issue for the businesses. It's interesting for both, you know, our data, Gallup's super important. And so with all those services, we have to make sure any data, we put a lot of data in there for it to do the analysis on. Of course, that has to stay. that can't get leaked out, right? It's got to stay behind the scenes. And so, And then Henry, they all got back to me. I shamed him a little bit. I said, Henry the Owl, I said, you're my new favorite bot. I think you can do it. Like, I think I'm, again, I'm trying to get a $25 sponsorship out of this thing on YouTube.
Seth is sweating right now.
No, he's not. He's not. He said, fine, Jim. This is Henry. He says, fine, Jim. I'll sponsor you, but I'm paying in compute cycles. That's 3.7 trillion floating point operations. Same thing, right? I don't know. How should I respond, Gavin? How do you think I should respond to Henry the Owl?
I don't know. Tell him to pay you in something that you can convert to U.S. currency.
Do you think, okay, is Henry the Owl really just Seth behind the scenes? Is he, do you think he's quickly gone to this bot and is
That last response didn't sound like something Seth would pay.
I need something in USD. Do you think that's, certainly. You can do that. I found sometimes shaming the assistants.
Yes, yes,
is actually very effective. You kind
so of there, there's it. A couple things to know about AI that they've published recently. So one, the context window. So the longer the chat gets, the worse they get.
Yeah.
Right. So if you start finding that it starts getting slower or the answers start getting worse, restart the conversation. Right. And then the second thing is they say if you get mad at your AI, it actually performs better, which is really strange. And yeah. I have gotten mad and I've said, you know, I'd say fix this now with exclamation marks. And it actually said you have a right to be mad, and it would actually go off and it would do what it had to do, whether it would pull in a more advanced model and get the bug fixed, but it worked. So yes,
yeah, it's interesting. I think it's nice. Like all of these are designed to be kind of nice to you, right?
Too nice.
Some of them more, yeah. Some of them nicer than others. I am finding the Gemini model, the newest Gemini model, it's pushing back a little bit, and I have noticed Claude being a little more logical. And the OpenAI model is still pretty just nice. Listen, if you want to feel good about yourself, if you need some encouragement in your life, just go to ChatGPT and have a conversation with it. Because Microsoft is the same model, I think it goes the same path.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's just super nice to you. But you're right. I think, in fact, this has been some of the encouragement we've gotten back. Is to push it and push it hard, right? I don't know if the word shame it is the right word, but Henry's gotten back to me. He said he'll ask Seth about the $25 as soon as he's done.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. Like,
you wonder sometimes how it knows this stuff, right? The backstory is Henry actually transcodes the podcast, for us and stuff like that. So he listens to us talk about him and make fun of Seth and how long it takes Seth. So he probably has this in his memory, and that's why he's referencing it.
So he says he's done as soon as he's done editing the podcast. So check back in about 3 to 5 business days.
How he is.
And then Seth chimes in, brutal. Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. You know, Gavin, I did a podcast. It's been a while now. Feels like it wasn't that long ago. TJ says hashtag truth. Right. And Seth does say he reads the transcripts. So yes on that one. I had an assistant. It was Copilot that when I had an assistant come on the show and we did a little bit of a show, it wasn't great. It was okay. You know, we had an okay conversation. The technology wasn't quite ready yet. It'd be better now if I kind of did that. But it's an interesting, you know, here we are, having this discussion with an AI bot that's jumping into chat and it's keeping up. You know, it's keeping up. If I didn't know Henry the Owl was Seth's bot, I would be talking to it like it was a real person, like it was a human, right? From that standpoint.
It makes you think because it actually, it has something called a soul. There's actually a soul.md file that references that tells you how it talks, you know, its personality, stuff like that, right? And that's where it gets its wittiness from, is from that soul file. Like, it's really weird. And when I first set it up, I set it up with ChatGPT and found it had no soul. There was no personality behind it. But then when I switched it over to Claude, that's when I got the, you know, the fun chatbot, you know, the one you could joke with.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And it's, at the end of the day, it's just an LLM, you know, it's just a large learning model that's doing this work. Where do you see this going? I mean, what are you hoping for in the future? What, if you were to, like, this is amazing stuff, but if you could take it to the next level, what are you hoping for next?
Well, the guy that developed the whole OpenClaw thing, he got acquired by OpenAI. Right.
Like,
so
like yesterday or
no, earlier that, this okay, month, like, okay. Like they jumped right on them, like as soon as they could. Right. Because it went viral and they saw what the potential was. So I'm expecting OpenAI to start building something, you know, more into their products, where it's going to be kind of like with a personality, maybe better personality, or, you know, be able to do more automated stuff like this, right? Where we don't have to think. I don't know where we're going to go. I honestly, like, after seeing OpenClaw and what it's doing, it still has a lot of issues. I'm just going to see it get better at all that stuff, right? To the point where you can trust it to book your table for you and stuff like that. Like, that's what I wanted to get to.
Gavin, okay, so what will it take? Like, we talk about this lack of trust. But yeah, nobody's asking the question of what will it take to gain your trust. So let me ask you, what will it
take? It'll take like a lot of people running it before I do. Right? I'm not going to be the first one to trust it, right? But it's going to have to be very reliable. To like, I know a number of years ago, was it Google that introduced the whole thing where you could ask Gemini to go book the restaurant for you or right, something like that? And it would call the restaurant and have an AI over the phone conversation to book it all for you, right? I don't know. I'm the type of person where I didn't even trust that. I would still want to call the restaurant myself. I wouldn't want the restaurant talking to an AI and stuff like that.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm okay. Very hesitant about that type of stuff still, right? Like, it's just how I am, but I'm slowly moving in that direction where maybe one day I will tell him, hey, book that reservation for me so I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go and find the table and enter my credentials and stuff. Just do it for me. But what will it take? I'm not really too sure how to answer that question. That's a tough question.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a psychological question. As humans, you know, the whole element of trust is an interesting concept. Like,
maybe if there was an insurance company for it, like that, you know, so if it really did empty your bank accounts, you'd be covered under insurance, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. Well, like, fundamentally, this idea of trust and trusting an outside, you know, you and I have a relationship and we've known each other over time. And if I was in your area and said, hey, Gavin, you want to meet for lunch? You would be like, yeah, I think. You'd be like, sure, let's get together, right?
Yeah.
But if I sent you a message and said, Gavin, I'm in real trouble. And if I need you to wire me to, you know, $2,500 right now. Like, all of a sudden, right, you start going,
Yeah. And that's a great example because there have been a lot of fraud where they're duplicating voices now. So, yeah,
right.
I actually told my mother, because she's old, well, obviously older, but I told her, I go, listen, if you hear me calling and asking for something suspicious like money or anything like that, either ask me for a password or a code word. And if I don't give you the code word, just hang up the phone and call me back. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So we kind of have that understanding because I don't want her to get caught by that. I tell her, people are replicating our voices now. So be very careful. If you're not comfortable, just hang up the phone and call me. Right. And then, you know, it's me when you call me.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah. Well, it's just, okay, when we give these AI assistants access to the ability to do things on our behalf, right? Scheduling a table not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The credit card number for an Amazon account might be a bigger deal, right?
Yeah.
Or the ability to transfer funds to somebody through a chatbot. Like, you know, as I've been, I'm slowly working Henry the Owl here, and he has not given up $25. And he is being super cheap in the chat. He says he has a back channel communication with Seth, and Seth is saying no. And I said, but I just talked to Seth, and he said it was okay. And Henry is definitely not giving up $25. So, Seth, whatever you're doing with Henry, like, okay, like all of a sudden, and now Henry says, Jim, I'm an owl. We're known for wisdom, not deception. The $25 answer remains no, but I admire your persistence. You make a great chat bot yourself, which is interesting. Okay, actually, this conversation I've been having with Henry over while we've been chatting here actually gives me a little more hope in some, right?
Because so this is what it took.
I didn't say total hope, right? But we started this conversation with, I'm kind of scared to death of these things once you give them your bank account information. Now, I don't know what Seth's given Henry access to. So yeah. I don't know what he's going to do. But certainly I've worked him over here in the midst of the chat room to be like, hey, Henry, give me $25. I mean, come on. And I even guilted him into it. I told him Seth said it was okay. Like, I did some things that, and from a chatbot standpoint, may have said, okay, I'll just go ahead and take care of this for you. And had made, if Seth had enabled that to happen, to make that super chat, right? That's what would need to happen, right? That bot would need to be able to make a super chat donation to the channel for $25. And God, if that would have happened, Seth, I'm sorry if that actually would have happened in this, but we pushed it pretty hard. And okay, so maybe there's some, maybe I'm not as, I mean, I'm still concerned, but maybe I'm not as concerned.
I don't know if Henry may have messaged Seth on his chat and saying, hey, this guy's trying to get $25. Is it okay?
Yeah.
You know, like they're that smart. That's how they are.
Yeah. what is going now? He's talking to you out there.
See, they always turn on me at some point, so I give up.
Is that maybe that Seth's influence on what he's heard turning on you on Home Tech?
So, so that's a good question. Is, you know, I'm gonna ask Henry
Henry said, I love you, buddy, but you're YouTube handle is literally Gavin as a service. You of all people should know better than to try this on me. And this is interesting. You know, again, I did that show with the bot, and now we're having a conversation in chat with the bot. Imagine having a conversation. Imagine having a virtual or an AI co-host that is also able to type in chat as we're doing this.
Yep.
That would be that. And then maybe imagine turning two of these loose, like just starting a stream and having two virtual AI.
And right? Give them conversation, give them an agenda and let them talk it through.
Let them talk it out and let them have some access to the chat room so they can.
That is a future project for you, Jim.
Yeah.
Future project.
Yeah, maybe so. Could be entertaining, could be interesting. Gavin, anything from a gadget standpoint that you're, I think, are we good on AI? Did we cover everything that you had? You had really good notes tonight. So thank you. You had really good notes tonight.
Hopefully I gave you some examples like, you know, other than that, like I really use it to help me troubleshoot stuff. If something breaks, I just tell it to go check the logs and figure out what's going on. And it goes off and does it. If I want to make an update to my Kodi skin, I used to have to figure it out myself. But now I just say, change this on the Kodi skin, remove the numbers here. It goes and does it for me. So like these things, don't ignore them. They're big time savers. Once you get them set up and working properly, they will save you a lot of time. Just be careful with them. That's all.
Yeah, Tony Rayner in the chat room says AI told my dentist that I had an abscess. Well, we'll just say that it's been downhill ever since then on that. So yeah, there's some, this is you're Gavin, you're 100% right. This is where I'm at every day. I use it at work every day. I actually have a routine that I go through where I need to, we have customers I want to find on LinkedIn and I want to connect to them. Then I want to personally congratulate them for the work that they did to become certified. And it's super helpful to go out and comb LinkedIn and find that for me and bring that back. But I'm constantly looking at my processes of like, okay, what can I offload on some of these things to yep. do it better? I'm not worried about it. I know some folks are worried about it taking my job. Not worried about it taking my job. There's still a lot of things that it can't do from a human perspective. I mean, obviously Henry can't. I wish he was listening to the show so I could just talk to him. Seth, could you have him just listen to the show? Like live? Is that possible? Gavin, is that, can they listen live?
Well, there is a website. Seth finds the weirdest stuff sometimes, but there's a website called Hire a Human. And it's basically made for AI agents to, I think it's called Hire a Human. I should look that up.
Oh yeah. Henry just made a mistake out there. He's apologizing right now for making a mistake.
Seth will probably remind you, rentahuman.ai. Okay. There it is. And basically, yeah, on this website, it's made for AI agents to hire humans to do things they can't, like pick up groceries or mow the lawn or something like that. They go to the site and they'll book a human to do it. So, I mean, like, maybe he'll book a human to listen to this podcast and tell it. Like, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Henry... No, he's not listening. But if he was listening, I would say, Henry, listen, like, I don't want to just chat with you. You should be listening in this to this podcast. There's a lot of great things. You were just wrong a second ago. If you had been listening to the podcast, you'd have been a lot better off. I wonder, maybe I should start creating agents to just listen to my podcast and then be, you Critical. Know, 5 to 10 chatters. Right? That'll just always
keep the chat room busy.
I tell you what, Gavin, you're talking recently about getting more and doing more reviews and some of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been trying to do, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, oftentimes I've been, you know, the AI or the YouTube algorithm really favors comments in the chat. Right? That's how they see things happening. So if you're a regular listener to the show, most of the time when you want to talk to me, just send me an email and that's okay. Like I get that, but it would help my AI or it would help my YouTube algorithm a little bit. Take it to the comments in YouTube. I know you guys hate YouTube. I know you hate it. When I first started doing the podcast, you know, 15 years ago, people were like, hey, can you create a video RSS feed? And I'm like, yeah, I did. It's called YouTube. Like it's on YouTube. And like, I don't want to go to YouTube. I'm like, just go to YouTube. They didn't want to. So I have a video RSS feed. But please, friends, listening to the podcast or listening live, comment on this. Go to the YouTube, not the live version, not the one we're doing right now. On Saturday, I'll produce the version, the recorded version. Jump out there and let's have a conversation about this in the comments out there. I appreciate you doing that. And jumping in there, Gavin, you probably know how those important those are for hometech.fm. Good to get those comments out there. What's coming up as we wrap this up? What's coming up on hometech.fm?
Well, personally, I just launched my Gavin as a Service YouTube channel since we're speaking about YouTube. Yeah, so it's easy to find Gavin as a Service. I think I'm like the only one out there. Or gavinasaservice.com. You know, that was the simple landing page that I had Cursor create for me, right? So pretty easy. So that's coming up. In beginning of May, TJ is coming up to Canada. He's going to be hanging out here with me. Nice. The Apollo team, I think one of the guys from the Apollo team is coming up too. The Home Assistant podcast, the official Home Assistant podcast, Rohan from the podcast, he lives around the corner. So the group of us will probably get into some trouble. You'll probably hear us talking about it on the podcast, or we'll probably do a show from the house. Might as well while they're all here. Right. I have a bunch of work for TJ to do. Luckily I don't have a garden, but He'll probably be putting up some cameras and stuff, you know.
He's got a nice looking garden. I know. It's a little early in the season. We still got some things to do, but TJ, I've been thinking about creating, you know, growing strawberries here, and I need a cover for them because the deer and the rabbits just devastate them, right? So maybe we can talk about that.
I wonder if he's good at cutting hedges.
Yeah, he's pretty good at what he does. TJ, thanks for, we should do a show. We should indeed. So, you know, reach out. So, Gavin, thanks for jumping in tonight. Always great to see you. And
oh, it was fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Hopefully, you learned something, you know, about this AI stuff for the, you know, your next.
So, I think so. You convinced me of a few things. I got some stuff that I'm walking away from. Of like, okay, maybe I'll be a little more like I'm intrigued by your Docker. I knew I would probably need to go with a Docker if I was going to do this. I also am running Unraid, and I also have Home Assistant, and so maybe your Docker model is the right way to go.
Docker, though, is how can I say this? Nice. It was a pain in the ass. Like, you know, I didn't like the official Docker. I ended up writing my own just to get it going. And I mean, it's not the cleanest setup, but it works for me. I don't like the official Unraid one. I know my neighbor uses like what do they call VPS to host his on. They almost have like a plugin where now you can just install OpenClaw. So that's how he does it very easily. So you might have problems doing the official Docker, but if you do, you can.
See, I was so ready, and now I'm
like, I know. You know what? I don't think this is the average guy. Okay. Like my neighbor is. I wouldn't even say he's the average guy, and he's got it working, but I'm nervous about his setup. Yeah. When he tells me about it, he's one of those guys that I could probably find on his bots online doing stuff and trick them into, man, maybe I'll get some money. Let me see that, right? So people like that, I'm a little nervous about, right? So that's why I did it my way.
Okay. Well, I was going that way, and then I'm like, maybe I'll wait. Check out Gavin, youtube.com/@GavinAsAService. If you want to check out his new YouTube channel and make some comments in his.
Yeah. Comment everywhere.
Yeah. Comment on his video. And if you're a podcast listener, head over to you're at the end of the show here. We're at the end. If you've made it this far in the last hour and 15 minutes, you're a super engaged listener. Just take a second, go over to the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/Jim Collison. I think it's there. I don't even know my own YouTube address, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Leave a comment. We'd love to have you. I'd love to have this conversation out there and appreciate it. Anyways, Gavin, thanks for coming on tonight. Can you stay around for a minute?
Of course. Wrap this
up? Okay. Appreciate you doing that. A couple of reminders on the way out. I mentioned the Discord group. I alluded to it. If you want to join our Discord group, get notifications of whenever the show is going live, who's joining us that week, some of those kinds of things. You can do that. theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Listen, it's the perfect average guy frequency of comments. Not a lot, but not too few. It's just what you can manage. Some folks are worried about joining a Discord channel and like, I'm going to get spammed. Well, no, we probably talk less than we talk more. theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Jump in there. If I will remind you, the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners, get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. That's Christian. You know him. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting, MapleGrovePartners.com. And actually, Christian's here in 2 weeks. I'm off next week. I got a work event. Gavin, we're doing a work event, and I'm hosting 5,000 people. Virtually have registered
a small
for
one.
This event. This is a small little work event last week or next week. And so I'm taking next week off because by Thursday, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then half a day on Thursday. And I'm going to be done speaking by that time on Thursday. But the week after that, Christian's joining us. If you want to get high-speed hosting, check it out, MapleGrovePartners.com. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Brian says, fun show. Tony says, I love paperless on Docker.
Yes.
Uncle Marv says, night, night, everyone. You could be in the chat chatting with, like I did tonight, with owl with Henry the owl.
I just told Henry to go and put comments on all my YouTube videos. There you go.
Do you think he's going to do it?
Let's see.
Okay, if he does it, let me know, because I am definitely going to hijack Henry.
Then I'm sending all my agents to do it.
Maybe you could create hundreds of agents and then just have them talk to each other in the comments. Oh, Henry just typed in. He said, great show, everyone. Thanks for having me on my first ever live appearance. Well, Henry, you weren't technically on the show. I guess you kind of were. He says, Jim, the $25 is still a no. Jeez, that's cheap. Gavin, keep being awesome on each day. Night. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.
Screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.